Today, New Zealand credit falls off a cliff, home prices will follow. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Those following my channel will know of the modelling, which shows the strong link between credit availability and home prices. We know that when credit is tight and the rate of change in credit is negative, home prices fall. And we're seeing this in spades now in New Zealand. So today, I want to explore some markers in New Zealand and why property will probably fall further and faster. First, it's worth understanding how important availability of cheap credit is to drive house prices higher. Using the DFA Core Market model, we've built a custom module to test the relative effectiveness of different levers and the extent to which they impact housing affordability. Our model incorporates data from our household surveys and data from other sources, and represents a dynamic model of the Australian economy from a housing perspective. But the model is also, I think, applicable to New Zealand. The output of the model shows the relative power of different levers relating to housing affordability. The results are quite interesting. We found that interest rates and credit availability were by far the two most significant factors in play. They're both demand-side factors. And that, by the way, means that monetary policy and lending guidance both have a direct and significant impact on affordability. And by the way, migration was the third most significant, but note that current migration, of course, is net negative thanks to COVID, yet prices are still rising and affordability is becoming worse. The next most significant were government incentives such as stamp duty waivers or things like Home Builder in Australia. These incentives are often targeted at first-time buyers and they tend to lift prices but do not address the structural issues of affordability. And incentives such as planning and land release, tax reforms and shared equity schemes hardly move the dial relative to the larger levers. Those are the supply side levers, of course. Another point to consider is the underlying financialisation of property. There was an important report some time back from the special reporter to the UN Human Rights Council highlighting the financialisation of housing and its impact on human rights. If you want to understand the rise in property investment and the problem of housing affordability, you've got to read this. You see, you cannot fix housing affordability without addressing the investment class. The financialisation of housing has its origins, of course, in neoliberalism, the deregulation of housing markets and structural adjustment programs imposed by financial institutions and agreed to by the various states. It's also tied to the internationalisation of trade and investment agreements, which make state housing policies accountable to investors rather than to human rights. And the financialisation of housing is also the result of significant changes in the way credit was provided for housing, and more specifically, the advent of mortgage-backed securities. So now back to New Zealand. According to the latest quarterly Consumer Credit Demand Index, which measures applications for retail credit products, including credit cards, personal loans and housing loans, and it was released recently by Equifax New Zealand, overall consumer inquiry volumes declined for the third quarter in a row, with a year-on-year reduction of down 32% for the quarter ended March 2022. Consumer credit demand was down across all major retail credit portfolios, with the largest decline being for home loans, as borrowers continue to pull back from a market that was at its peak this time last year. With rising interest rates, the CCCFA, and other related lender constraints, home lending inquiries fell by 42% year over year to the March 22 quarter, said Angus Luffman, Managing Director, Equifax New Zealand. The softening demand is also playing out in lower numbers of new retail credit accounts being opened, which continues to be near their lowest level since the start of the pandemic. Demand for credit is being significantly impacted by a sharp fall in consumer refinancing or moving their credit relationships, and consumers refinancing their loans is at its lowest level since the start of the pandemic and down around 80% on 2019 levels. The decline in refinancing activity commenced with the Delta outbreak and lockdown in August 2021, dropping to near March 2020 levels. And the commencement of the CCCFA changes saw a further acceleration in the decline of refinancing activity. Such a significant drop indicates consumers are holding onto their current relationships rather than taking the risk and effort of trying to get a better deal elsewhere, said Luffman. Unsecured credit demand activity also declined, with the biggest impact being for credit card inquiries, which fell by 36% year over year for the March 2022 quarter, and personal loan applications by comparison dropped almost 30% for the same period. And now consider the rising price of credit too. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand has lifted the official cash rate to 1.5% and more hikes are expected. Since the beginning of March, wholesale swap rates have risen almost 90 basis points. And since the beginning of April, they are up more than 30 basis points and they're not showing any signs of slowing down. Almost a full 50 basis points is priced in to financial markets for the May Reserve Bank New Zealand decision. The slightly weaker CPI, by the way, won't change that. And also here are a couple of other markers to help explain what's going on. Fixed rate mortgages back in May 2020 for a year could be had for around 2.65%, but today that rate is around 4.5%. A two-year rate was then 3.39%, and today that's around 5.25%, again with some variations. And Canstar New Zealand makes the point that after 6 years of cuts to the official cash rate last October, the Reserve Bank started to lift the OCR from its all-time low of 0.25%, and it now stands at 1.5% and looks set to rise further over coming months. And a quick look at the refinance table from Canstar shows rates between 4.09% from a non-bank up to 5.59% from one lender for a variable rate. So demand for credit is down and interest rates for loans are rising, and as a result, more home price falls must be expected. And just as prices jump significantly on stimulatory low rates, the reverse is also likely to be true. One other factor to bear in mind, given higher costs of living and flat incomes, absolute affordability is deteriorating as banks are getting more cautious and household confidence eases. So unless things change, and by that I mean that the Reserve Bank reverses its monetary policy, home prices are set for further significant falls. The feedback from this will flow on to lower economic activity and perhaps even a recession. But spare a thought for those who were persuaded to buy in at the top of the market when rates were artificially suppressed, and now things could get very nasty. But the question, of course, we should be asking is, and who is accountable for this mess? Well, there's plenty of blame to go around, but I think the government in New Zealand and also the Reserve Bank in New Zealand are definitely in my sights. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.